Welcome everyone. It's I know it's still early, so I'll try not to keep you too long before morning tea. So this is my contact details. I'm a Windows Phone dude. I've been around for a while. Been playing around with Windows Phone since CE5, CE6, 6.5. Today we're going to talk about what's new in the Mango platform, the Mango release for XNA and Silverlight developers. So this is basic. Show you what we're doing and what you should be doing with your games and applications. It's going to cover a brief couple of demos and show you what's new. Tomorrow morning, I pimp my own session again with Jake. We're going across multitasking and background agents and all that kind of stuff in the Mango release, which 8:15 tomorrow morning, unfortunately. But yeah, can't miss that one. Anyone actually used XNA? A couple of people. Pretty good. So, for games and application developments in Windows Phone now, you've got two technologies to pick, XNA and Silverlight. So the question is, which one is actually right for me to get my application done or to get my game done? So there's two real scenarios you need to pick before you pick the technology. Think about before you pick the technology. If you want a rich UI, internationalized text, browsers, so you want the browser control, maps control, all that kind of rich UI in your application, you're obviously going to pick Silverlight. You don't get that on XNA. If you want all the high GPU-accelerated graphics, GPU-accelerated mathematics libraries, very low-level performance, and use of the hardware scaler, you'll use XNA. So those are the scenarios that we gave you 10 months ago when we released 7.0 for Windows Phone. So what you have now, Silverlight, you've got a control model, retain mode, so Silverlight itself handles most of the graphics and graphics rendering, and declarative XAML, mark up your controls. This is what you're going to display to the user. XNA is a sort of a complete reverse. We expect you to draw and code every single thing you want the user to see. Immediate mode, you're a lot lower level, have access to the GPU, so you're writing to it a lot faster than Silverlight will. So what is XNA? So XNA, all that it really is a bunch of .NET libraries on top of the Direct3D stack. The Direct3D, high performance, not really gaming engine, but high performance videos, all the games that they use it now. Managed code, complete managed code, you can use it across the Xbox, Windows Phone, and Windows PCs. Write once, develop across for three platforms. Pretty big win there. And XNA Game Studio C Sharp. Sorry, I should have updated the slide. They've only just released VB support, but does anyone really do VB anymore? One person? Okay. We'll have a chat after this. Get you some books. So, again, what is XNA? It's about creating your game without having to worry about the plumbing and everything else under the scenes. So we give you everything for free. All you've got to do is write your what you want the user to see and how they're going to interact. XNA also, with every single Windows Phone shipped, there's a built-in hardware scaler. So if you want to render a 20-pixel image and that's on two different resolutions of devices, we automatically scale it for you for free, straight on the GPU and hardware accelerated. So you've really got to think about, if I'm changing my UI and I want to target more platforms and more resolutions, I'm going to use XNA instead of Silverlight, because Silverlight, you don't get access to the hardware acceleration. So in XNA, there's this concept of a game loop. Game loop, you've got two methods, on update, on draw. Aptly named, update is where you're going to put all your AI. So I want to move object X from coordinates 1, 1 to 1, 5, 1, 7, that kind of stuff. And on draw, basically, so I'm going to draw all this information after it's just been updated straight to the screen. But there are two types of game loops. So there's a fixed step game loop. So once you've done your on update, it's going to call on draw. So it's like a little kid that's had a lot of red cordial, it's going hyper. It's going to call on update, on draw, on update, on draw for the entire process. But there's a variable step loop. So you say, I should only update my AI and you should only redraw every 10 seconds or every 5 seconds or every 5 milliseconds. By default, It's variable step loops. So we've given you the ability to write your game. You need the way to access content across three devices. So Xbox, Windows Phone, and the Windows PC itself. So there's a concept of a content pipeline. So what the content pipeline does is you add the references for all your videos, your pictures, fonts, all that kind of stuff, and we compile that into an XNA-specific format, so that's in cross-device. So what we'll show you is I'll add a, create a file, new project. I'll close this one. We'll get rid of this. So here you see our content pipeline. So I've got an image that I want to access in my application on all three screens. Simply right-click, pick my image. Image is down in my project. The problem is that JPEG type is not going to work properly on an Xbox. So when I recompile my app, we've built. I then go to my debug folder, content folder. What it's done is it's converted that JPEG into an XNB. XNB is proprietary format for XNA, so it's going to convert pictures, videos, and fonts into the proprietary format that's then usable on all three platforms, which is pretty cool. So we heard you all saying, yep, XNA is pretty cool, but I want visually beautiful applications by using declarative XAML. So in 7.1, we're introducing this concept of shared graphics. So what you can do is you can overlay Silverlight on an XNA app. So you can have your magical Silverlight buttons, or you can have anything you want. You can have a browser control over the top of an XNA application. So when the XNA rendering takes over, all you do is say, yep, set shared mode enabled, done. So that's when fires off your XNA game loop. You are still inside the Silverlight model though. So anyone familiar with the application lifetime of Silverlight? Any services? Yeah, a couple. So what it does is when your Silverlight app starts up, there's a service behind the scenes that also starts up the game loop for you. So that's then running, and you can access that game loop whenever you want, whenever you want to use it. But by default, if you're not using it, turn it off, because it's going to tax the battery, and the user's going to be upset when they're playing your application for 45 minutes and their battery's dead. So just a little thing to take care of. We're also using the navigation context. So anyone, any Windows Phone developers? Like the navigation service? Yeah, no issues? So we're using the navigation service inside the Silverlight application model to navigate around from page 1 to page 2 to page 3. Page 3 might have your XNA portion on there. So GPU resource management, we handle it all for you. Silverlight does, but as soon as you transition over to XNA, all your Silverlight resources are then garbage collected. So you've got to make sure if you're having something in a shared resource, you want access to it, you just got to be careful of that. So the shared graphics device manager, as we said before, uses Direct3D with Silverlight. You don't really have to make any changes there. It's pretty cool. So we'll do a quick demo. So this is the new project template in the 7.1 tools. Windows Phone, Silverlight, and XNA application. That's what it'll be called when it ships very soon. File new project. You get three libraries. So back what we said before, you get your content library, your XNA library app where you can manipulate those content references, and the actual Silverlight application itself, where all your XAML pages and all your code goes, basically. So, by default, the the project template just gives you out of the box change to game page. Change to game page, all it really does is navigate away from the home page to our game page. And this is, if anyone's actually used XDNA, this is the magical cornflower blue that for some reason they love this color. And that's basically it. So there's, we're now running a game loop in a Silverlight project. So let me stop this and show you what we're actually doing here. So for us to tell Silverlight we're in a game, we need to start our game timer. From Tix basically says, yep, we're a variable time step, and we're wiring up our on-draw and on-update methods just to say that, yep, I can then go and handle these methods. And this magical one piece of line of code, on Navigator 2, I'm going to set the sharing mode to true. I'm going to run some XNA in my Silverlight application. I want to then, creating a new sprite batch. Sprite batch just basically says, this is the type and the class, so you get access to the, basically direct access to the GPU. I want to then write, so if I wanted to write some text, I'd be going sprite draw, specify a font, and specify some text. Vector and position and color the text, basically. So that's then going to tell the GPU here, go and draw this for me. Meanwhile, you're still also drawing a UI element. But what about the game type? So originally in 7.0, there was a default game type. You had to inherit from that if you actually wanted your XNA application to work. So by default now you don't. Actually, I will show you the... So here is our app lifetime service. So this is our shared graphics device manager. Static instance. If you're not using it, please set sharing mode off. So make sure if you're writing your own navigation, if you're not using sharing mode, please turn it off, because if you end up going over the 90 meg limit, you will get killed and you won't get back. You won't be allowed in the marketplace. So if you're developing XNA and Silverlight apps, make sure you set the sharing mode off once the user's navigated away from your page. That's one big killer. But what about the game type? You've got the game type in the event args, a heartbeat, and our application lifetime object, which is just a service basically, and content manager, which houses a lot of content. So what's really changed? Not much, apart from the fact that we've now event-based model for on-update and on-draw. One thing to do note is if you're drawing a lot of information in XNA and you think your application is running slowly, you've got a bool here to say it is running slowly. So that's to say that I'm doing a lot of update in my on-update method. On-draw, I'm going to skip you and just keep updating for the next couple of runs. Then I'll tell you to draw. It's really key that... If you've got an application where you're doing a lot of updating, just make sure you check the is running slowly property. So can you use them together? So can you render XNA and Silverlight in the same page over the top of each other? Yes, you can. This new type UI element renderer. So by default, all controls and all elements in Silverlight are a UI element. So it's aptly named UI element renderer. So basically, when a page is still active, we will render the text over your, we'll render the text and object over anything that you're rendering in XNA, in your update loop, in your game loops. Use it how you want. Texture models, billboards, UI controls, anything really. It just works out of the box. Pretty cool. So uses for this. So there's two types of targets for the UI element renderer. So single use and per frame. So per frame, if you're doing a little status bar in the bottom, so you've got an XNA game and you've got a little game timer or you've got a score, you'll use that. So use a per frame basis. Otherwise, you use single-use targets. Single-use targets, we realize that font rendering isn't good in XNA. There is no internationalization. For if you wanted to support Chinese, Japanese, all the other characters, you had to have the characters themselves in the sprite fonts, and your application then goes from being 10 meg to 100 meg. And you're just not going to download a 100 meg app over Wi-Fi. So by default, we did realize there was a few issues. Now you can do it in Silverlight. Pretty cool. The issue with Silverlight, though, as we just said before, the retain model, it's okay, but when you're doing real time and you want to manipulate and write a lot of content to the GPU, XNA is what you want to use. So the UI element renderer, perfect use case. But we want to do them. We want to use them together. So here I've got a XAML markup page with basically three buttons: red, green, and blue. This is the same project, a project that I created earlier for the instance of time. So we've got our simple game page, getting the content, wiring up a game timer, and here in our unnavigated to event is basically where we load our content. So we're going content.load, give me this texture, 2D, which is one of the images down here we loaded. So when you're saying to XNA, saying, I've got these items in my content library here, I want you to go and get them for me. One little thing, if you haven't done XNA development before, let me get the property bar up for you. The name used there is the actual asset name, not the file name. So you can rename the asset name if you want. You can call it something else. It doesn't really matter. But when you're saying load texture 2D, this asset name, it's the asset name here, not the actual file name. One little hidden feature there for you. So load our content in the unnavigated to event, which also helps the tombstoning. And then we basically start our timer. If you're not going to be using the game loop all the time, make sure you stop the timer, as again, it's going to be causing more CPU cycles, and the battery on the phone will last 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe an hour. Not that heavy, but you get the drift. And unnavigated from, we're stopping this timer, and we're also setting the share mode to false, basically. So I'll fire this up. We're going to start a little game. So we've got the little channel 9 robot. So the black part behind the buttons is the actual XNA application. And he's then rendered and shifted behind the actual buttons that we're showing there. So to do this now in XNA 7.0, well, you basically can't. So you've got to draw and write every single thing in code that you want displayed on your screen. And here I've got three declarative buttons, and I can change the color via a Silverlight button of an XNA application. That's pretty cool. And ease of use, basically. We go back and look at the update code. So here's my three button clicks. Red, blue, green. Then go and update the texture. The texture is basically the 2D is what we're rendering here. So we're saying, I want you to draw me this texture with the position of where it needs to be, which has been updated in my update loop. Basically, position is the speed and the total time the application's been running. A little bit of math. I won't go into too much. It's a bit too early in the morning. Draw it. And that's basically it. Pretty simple. Yep.
Sorry, a moment ago you said the Silverlight render over the top of the XNA content, and that's what seems to be happening then. But
yep.
Earlier on you said you could use the background
image. Yep, correct, you can. So I didn't do a demo of that, but I can. So come and see me after this and I'll walk you through the code. Yep.
Yep. On the loop of the bind and the update, they're on the same thread.
No.
So
thread safe. Yeah. So combined use cases, when we talked about text box and soft key input, now if you wanted to do input in an XNA application, you got to throw up a pop-up window, take the user away from your application, get them input some text, and then go back to your application. Now building the text box control in the same XAML, and away you go. Across the Silverlight, what's new in Mango for you? A whole heap of stuff. It's now Silverlight 4, not Silverlight 3. That itself is a big feat. And sockets, you finally get socket support. So you can then use sockets in your XNA application to create a true multiplayer application. You don't have to look at registering for Xbox Live. Do it yourself. First-class rendering support in Silverlight. Previously, you didn't get access to render every single language we supported on the phone. Now it's supported by default. Open up your Silverlight application. Internationalization just works. So your Chinese characters, everything. List box scrolling, it's fixed. Yes, we're definitely aware that there was a few issues, and they put a fair amount of work into making it buttery smooth and a lot better on all the other platforms. So you pull up an iDevice or an Android scroll and Windows Phone, list box and long list selector, buttery smooth. You've also got access to this new profiler. So if you've got an application you think's got an issue in some thread or some dependency you've got, you queue up the profiler, deploy my app, it'll then profile in exactly what it is doing. It'll show you, you're calling this method 5 times, or you're doing this. This is the memory usage, this is why it's taking 10 seconds. Pretty cool. New controls. So there was no clipboard API, you couldn't share information between applications. You've now got access to it. Red squiggly. So red squiggly is good for if you're having an input, you're requesting the user to have input into the application and the spelling's incorrect, or you have a business case around that you want this value to be something specific, you put a little red squiggly under it. We've given you new input scopes, formula and numeric password, web browser. You can do your own little HTML5 apps. So if you want to have a HTML5 app, have a web browser control, it just works. And rich text box, unfortunately, is read-only. I didn't make the decision. It would be nice if users could contribute to it, but unfortunately, it's read-only. But the control itself renders really well. Displayed a lot of content in there. So now with the networking stack, the web request, HTTP web request, and web client, you've got full access to modify the content headers. So you can set the authorization tags. You can do everything you want to do. And web client, it is fixed. Previously, it would return on the UI thread, and you'd have issues with that slowing down your application. And now it returns on the originating thread you called it from. So call it from a background thread. Don't call it on the UI thread. Sockets. Finally, UDP, TCP, multicast, UDP multicast. Only problem is, sorry, it's not a problem, but you cannot have a socket open and waiting. You yourself have to make the connection. You can't have a server then connect into your phone. So if you want to send something to the server and get a response, your application itself has got to hit the server, say, hey, I'm alive, give me some information. So it can't be waiting for a connection. You can't say, I'm just going to open on this port and wait for you to send me something. The app itself has got to initiate that. You still need a brokering service. You can do a multicast, but that's about it. You can say, it's multicast out to the phone, or all phones on the same network, so this is something that you might be interested in, but it won't pick it up. So graphics and media, improved battery life for video. Video brush, you now get access to a video brush stream. It's at the background of a grid, proper video brush, and you get raw access to the video stream. So this is pretty good for the AR scenarios. It is 10 frames a second. If you need a scenario more than 10 frames a second for the video source, come and see me. I'd love to have a chat. The webcam API. Any Silverlight 4 desktop developers here? still alive. I haven't killed it. Don't worry about it. The webcam API is exactly the same on the desktop as it is on the phone. So reuse the code. Again, it just works. As we said, ListBox, it does actually work. It is buttery smooth. There's two scenarios. All what you want to use, you want to use a ListBox for 10, 15, 20 items, even 100 items. Or if you want to group by, use the long list selector. So the long list selector is in the Silverlight toolkit. So all I do is... Anyone here not use Nougat? All right, I'll show you how cool it is if the Compton's Wi-Fi holds up. That simple. Windows Phone Toolkit's now installed into my project. I can then go start using the toolkit DLLs. Go and thank Phil Hack on Twitter. So we realized in assessing the ListBox scrolling performance, you were doing a lot of image scenarios. You were having images loading. You were displaying a lot of images. So what we've done is we've pushed the image decoding onto a separate background thread. It just works by default, but if you want to change that, you've got to set an option. You've got to opt in to change that mode. By default, it does it in the background thread. We've also improved the memory working set on the phone. Your apps won't use as much memory as they were previously, but still be careful because you will get rejected from the marketplace if you go over the 90 meg limit. So we'll just go through the combined demo. So if you want to, basically, this is where the cornflower blue color, we want to change that to as a default background red. What am I missing? Can't draw that there. It's now red. Pretty simple. So what you need to do to get started, go up and get the tools. They're a release candidate at the moment. You have got a go live license with those tools. So you can start using them. You can use them for 7L apps. You can use them for 7.1 apps. Update your apps and upload them. At the moment, if you update an existing app in the marketplace with the Mango version, you cannot update the previous one. So that's an issue. We do know about it. We'll see what we can do. But apart from that, if you don't have... Anyone see Jeff's session yesterday about making a good Windows Phone app? Yep. So what he talked about was having a kill bit on your application. So update your Nodo and your RTM apps now to have a kill bit, because if there's an issue with your application, tell it to hit a service to say, don't use this portion of the app because I know there's a bug there if you've updated a Mango version. So that's to sort of get around certain scenarios. You've got a page. There's an issue with the page. The app loads, you check your server, say, yep, this page has got an issue, don't load it, just alert the user, say, hey, there's an issue with the page, sorry. Get the Mango version or update your phone to Mango. Those are the kind of things you can get to work around the if you've got an issue with the app and you can't update it. So we RTM'd just over a month ago. RTM is, we've released, basically, the big party, but the OEMs have it. Operators have it, everyone have it, they're doing their testing processes. We want to get out as soon as we can, but I unfortunately don't have any dates, but I promise it's very soon. Very soon. So any people that want to register for the marketplace but can't afford the $100, or don't really want to pay the $100? Yeah, okay. Take your QR code or your whatever reader you have and take a photoshop of that. That'll give you a free year subscription to the marketplace. No $100 fee, no nothing. It expires in a year though. So as soon as you use it and activate your account, it expires a year from that date. What we're also doing is, if you register for that, you don't want a Marketplace account, that's fine. We're going to give you information about free training events we offer for Android and iOS developers to come across to the platform. Competitions we're running, announcements, all that kind of stuff. So please sign up for this, because if you don't have a phone, we do have loaners. So we can lend you a phone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or however long you need to test your app to get it up in the Marketplace. One also little tidbit for the emulator, it does not reflect device performance. You could have a quad-core Xeon with 16 gig of RAM. It's going to run with a quad-core 16 gig of RAM. Your phone's only gigahertz processor with 512 meg. There's a few differences there. And that about wraps it up for today. Any questions?
I'm not sure if I missed it or something, but is it possible to set the size of your XNA portion? So, like, if you wanted, say, like, you had the moving graphic,
yep.
But only in, like, the top header things?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can set the size of that. So the question was around the sizing of your XNA app. Yep. So by default, in your, let me think, in this bright batch, you set the drawing area. So I can go. So in my drawing region, I can. There's an overload in there to tell it where you want to draw to and how far you want to draw it. So it's all part of the UI element renderer. So you use that for a specific portion of the application. You can specify what you want, yeah. Yep. So there is no access for Silverlight for the content pipeline. By default, that's XNA only. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. So the question was, does Silverlight get access to the content and the content pipeline? Because the content is converted to a proprietary format, yeah, Silverlight doesn't understand the proprietary format. It's an XNA type, so you've got to add the content twice, unfortunately. Yep, sure. So please register. We won't harass you. We won't send you information every 5 minutes and every day. It's just so we can build up Aussie developers, a list of Aussie developers, so we can ping you when we're running new events. We're running phone-specific events. We're looking at doing something in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne in a month or two time. So please register, and we will be in contact about what's coming up.
Have you heard of use cases for using XNA but not build games?
So if you've seen an old school Zune HD. Yep. So the Zune HD, the Facebook app, that is XNA. But the hurdles they had to jump through to get it to actually function correctly, you don't want to do it. So XNA is primarily a game development framework. That's what it's used for. I wouldn't do an app in it. It is case sensitive. It is case sensitive. Sorry, is good. Links are case sensitive, as are Bitly and everything else. Sorry, I should change the text to make it easier for you. I don't like it when they scrub your slide and don't and mess with things. So let me make that nice and white. Easier. So the question was, the bitmap cache on Silverlight, does that render on the GPU? Sometimes. So there is some scenarios where it will use the CPU. But come and see me after and I'll give you some white papers on what it does. Yeah. No more questions? Cool. Thanks for coming, guys.